A reading from Exodus. When the Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. The Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light, so that they might travel by day and by night. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, the minds of Pharaoh and his officials were changed towards the people, and they said, "What have we done, letting Israel leave our service?" So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 picked chariots and all the other chariots of Egypt with officers over all of them. The Israelites looked back, and there were the Egyptians advancing on them. In great fear, they said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us, bringing us out of Egypt? Is this not the very thing we told you in Egypt? Let us alone and let us serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." But Moses said to the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will accomplish for you today. The Egyptians whom you see today you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to keep still." The angel of God who was going before the Israelite army moved and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud moved from in front of them and took its place behind them. It came between the army of Egypt and the army of Israel. And so the cloud was there with the darkness, and it lit up the night. One did not come near the other all night. The Lord drove the sea back by a strong east wind all night, and turned the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. The Israelites went into the sea on dry ground. The Egyptians pursued and went into the sea after them, all of Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and chariot drivers. At the morning watch, the Lord in the pillar of fire and cloud looked down upon the Egyptian army and threw the Egyptian army into panic. He clogged their chariot wheels so they turned with difficulty. The Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the Israelites, for the Lord is fighting for them against Egypt." At dawn, the sea returned to its normal depth. As the Egyptians fled before it, the Lord tossed the Egyptians into the sea. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day from the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Israel saw the great work that the Lord had done. The Word of Life. A reading from Romans. When those who are weak in faith, but not for the purpose of quarreling over opinions, some believe in eating anything, while the weak eat only certain foods. Those who eat must not despise those who abstain, and those who abstain must not pass judgment on those who eat, for God has welcomed them. Who are you to pass judgment on servants of other? It is before their own Lord that they stand or fall, and they will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make them stand. Those who eat, eat in honor of the Lord, since they give thanks to God, while those who abstain, abstain in honor of the Lord, and give thanks to God. We do not live to ourselves, and we do not die to ourselves. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. Why do you pass judgment on your brother or sister? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. Let us therefore no longer pass judgment on one another, but resolve instead never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of another. The Word of God for the people of God.
Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from Matthew's Gospel, the 18th chapter. Peter came to Jesus and said, "So, if someone sins against me, how many times do I have to forgive them? As many as 7? And Jesus said, "No, 70 times 7. You see, the reign of God is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his slaves. And as he began the reckoning, there was one who was brought to him who owed him $10 million. And because the man could not pay, the king ordered him to be thrown in jail until he could pay it off. And the man fell on his knees and said, "Please, be patient with me. I'll pay back everything." And the king took pity on him and sent him on his way and forgave the whole debt. And as he went along, he ran into another slave who owed him $100. And he grabbed him by the throat and said, "Pay me what you owe me." And the guy fell on his knees and said, "Oh, please be patient with me. I'll pay you back everything." But he refused, and he threw the guy in jail. And when the other slaves saw this happen, they marched right back to the king, and they told him what they had seen and heard. And the king called that slave in and said, "You wicked slave, I forgave that whole big debt because you pleaded with me. Should you not have shown mercy for your companion the way I showed mercy to you?" This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You've been hurt. We've all been hurt. And not always just by an unfortunate accident. You've been wounded. Something's been taken from you. You've been mistreated. Who you are has been dishonored. You've been wounded deeply. What are you going to do with that hurt? What are you going to do with that pain? You could pretend like it's not there. You could say, "Oh, it was nothing." And that wound will fester. You could devote your life, or at least a lot of energy, to trying to get what you deserve. To somehow get even, or to get back what you've lost, or to somehow make the other person at least see what they've done to you and make them feel as bad as you do, or somehow to reclaim what's been taken. And that little war will enslave you. You could decide that you deserved it, and that will become your prison. What are you going to do with that pain? There are things that you know and you can feel pretty comfortable with. And then there's a lot of stuff that you don't really understand. And it seems like maybe you never will. What are you going to do with that not knowing? You could pretend like you know everything you need to know and you will annoy people. You could give up and your despair will defeat you. What are you going to do with that not knowing? There are some things over which you have a great deal of control. You have a lot of freedom. You have choices. You have power. You can make your life the way you want it. And there are some ways in which you don't have any power at all. It's somebody else's choice. Or it's in the past and you can't change it. Or it's something that is nobody's choice and you have no control. You are not in control. What are you going to do with that powerlessness? You could pretend like you're not powerless and you could become incredibly manipulative and you will hurt people. You could try to manipulate the things that you can manipulate and give up on the other things. And you will exhaust yourself, always trying to figure out, is this something I can control? How about that? You could give up. And your paralysis will be your prison. What are you going to do with the pain and the not knowing and the powerlessness that comes in those times in our lives when we suffer really hurtful losses, especially when somebody else is involved? Well, we don't like pain, and we don't like that all that discomfort and that powerlessness and that not being in control. And so it's pretty much our instinct to think of some way to get out of it, some way to either fight or flee. Jesus doesn't seem to have had any of that energy, either to fight or to flee. He just walked right toward the dark places. He had a knack for that, didn't he? You know, he'd walk into the synagogue and he'd see somebody with a withered hand or a woman who was bent over, and he'd make a scene. He would make an issue out of their illness and the way people were treating them. He would go right for those awkward situations. He would see what was hurting in somebody's life, and he would talk about it with total strangers. Go call your husband. I have no husband. I know. Jesus had a knack for seeing those dark places and going right toward them. Sort of like Israel, headed right for the Red Sea. And everybody's saying to Moses, "What are you thinking?" Like Jesus' disciples kept saying, "Jesus, no, don't go there. Don't do that." And he kept doing it. There's a reason for that. You know, when they interpret the story of the Red Sea, frequently you will hear or read people who will say, there are a little footnote in our Bibles, those little red Bibles that have a little asterisk that say, or maybe it means Reed Sea, as if it was really just a shallow marsh and they just knew where the rocks were and they could somehow make it across. I saw you guys being the water. You were no Reed Sea. You were serious water. Here's the thing. In the rest of the Old Testament, when it talks about the Red Sea, it talks about it as if it is the sea at the edge of the world. Remember, they thought that the world was just this flat disk surrounded by a firmament, a dome, and outside that disk, it's just water. And if you go out into that water, you are going into the water at the edge of the world. And if you cross that, then you're just going to another world. That's what they meant. That's the way they thought of it. It was no little Reed Sea. It was a new world. That ocean is the sea of darkness and chaos where freedom happens. That dark chaos is where God's Spirit hovers, where God says, "Let there be light." In the darkness and the chaos, Jesus knows that the dark places are where life happens, where that transformation from chaos to new creation happens, where that journey occurs from the slavery of the old world to the promised land of a new world. So Jesus always headed right for the Red Sea. And he knew that when you forgive somebody, you can't just say, "Oh, it was nothing." Or you can't say, "I forgive you, I'll get even later." What you have to do is confront this awful abyss of your pain and your loss of control and walk through it. Sorry. There's no way around it. It doesn't do any good to go back. And the Pharaoh of our bitterness would love for us to go back. But Jesus says, just walk through it. Just go. And trust that that darkness, that pain, however you've been hurt, is where new creation happens. And Jesus knows that, in fact, there's another layer of pain. Not only do I have to suffer whatever hurt somebody hurt me with, but now I also have to confront the hurt that I can't do anything about it. So it's their hurt and then my hurt piled on top of that. And Jesus says, walk through it. Now, if you were listening carefully as Jen read the story of Exodus, hopefully some of you went, wait, whoa, she missed something. Anybody notice that? Where was Charlton Heston? Isn't there that scene where he gets this big staff and he climbs up on a rock and he goes, camera's ready, whoa, and the waters go, did you notice that didn't happen? There are two Exodus stories. Do you know that? There are two creation stories, right? There's the 7 days, and then after that, it starts all over again, and it has the Adam and Eve story. They're two different stories. And they just said, well, here's one story, here's another story. In Exodus, they had two stories, and instead of doing them side by side, they shuffled the deck. They just took all the spades and all the diamonds, and they went... And you can literally take a pair of scissors and cut out one story and the other story. And in one of those stories, Moses raises his staff and the waters part and they pile up like two walls on either side. In the other story, Moses doesn't have anything to do with it. The wind blows the sea back and it flattens out. And it disappears. There's no wall. There's no Moses. There's no Charlton Heston. There's no cameras. Two very different stories. Because sometimes it happens differently. There's a third story. And that story you really only get to read when you get to the part about the end of that journey through the wilderness when they cross into Israel. They have to go across the Jordan River. And when they do that, God parts the waters and just stops the river and it piles up. But the story is that the water didn't stop till the priests carrying the ark actually stepped into the water. Maybe the way the Red Sea parts is that you walk into that pain up to your ankles. And you walk into that not knowing up to your waist. And you keep walking into all that powerlessness up to your chest until you are just gasping for air. And then the water parts. One step. Maybe the Red Sea parted one step at a time all the way through. Because forgiveness is like that. You can forgive somebody and then 2 minutes later you resent them again. And it happens 77 times, 77 times. That's what Jesus is getting at. You never stop letting go. You never stop walking into the pain. You never stop trusting God. There's a reason for that. He's not just putting us through the paces because he likes to make us do hard things. He does that because he wants us to love one another. And there is this gulf between us. If you've hurt me and I resent you, then there is this abyss between us. And it's all mine. There's nothing you can do about it. You could apologize or not apologize. I'm the one that owns the pain. I'm the one that has to walk through that pain in order to love you. And what Jesus wants us to do is to be free to love. So forgiveness is not just a duty that we have in order to be the kind of people that Jesus thinks we ought to be. It's how you love. You walk through the darkness and you trust that the sea will part. And when it gets a little scary, when we get into the middle and it seems like there's a lot of water. When I got over to that end, there was water that was actually trying to come get us. And my lack of forgiveness does that to me. Remember Jesus' story. Maybe there's a fourth way that the water parts. And that is that somebody comes from the other side. Somebody who has forgiven me way more than I will ever imagine needing to forgive anybody else. And he's part of the water. And all I do is just follow him on dry ground. Because he also just wants love and will walk through any amount of darkness and chaos to reach us and bring us through. to the promised land and leave the slavery of our bitterness and our fear and our calculations behind. Leave the anger of Pharaoh and all of his accounting and all of his demands and his terrible, sad fear behind. And go free. Maybe the water parts because it wants us to be free. Will you pray with me? God of grace, we thank you for your forgiveness. And we pray that we too may be forgiving as we have been forgiven. That we may show the mercy we have received. God of grace, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen.